Level check. Mine's good. Test yours.
Fuck bomb.
The way to begin. You want to know? So we're going to talk about your inspirations and influences and hopes and efforts and methods.
So you're going to ask me in some sort of order?
Yeah, I'll ask you. First, let's say who you are and what you do.
My name's Josh Moo.
Yeah.
I'm an Australian-based contemporary dancer. Started with breakdancing and hip-hop in Darwin and later continued that with uni at WAPA, contemporary and ballet, and a few other things, circus, aerial, yoga, bit of tumbling, little bits and pieces, tasters.
And you've made some work too, some short pieces.
Yes, I have. I've done a commission work with Trax Dance Theatre in the NT. I've made a short 20-minute work with the breakdance crew I'm in called Style Impressions Crew for the Darwin Festival. And besides that, that's about it really. But most projects I work on are collaborative.
And is that your... Do you prefer collaborative situations?
Depends. If it's not a collaborative situation, then the person I'm working for, hopefully he, she has excellent ideas and it's incredibly enjoyable. But most often a not collaborative is more fun because you get to be creative as well. Mm. And it almost helps the performer have more investment in the work and they can create justifications for themselves in the way, I don't know, it lets them be more authentic on stage in one way.
Mm-hmm. And when you're making something, you've got a commission or an opportunity to present, how do you prepare?
Are you talking choreographically?
Yeah. For now, yeah, let's first talk when it's yours with your name on it. And then let's talk about when you're a performer and collaborator for somebody else. Right.
So as a choreographer, I haven't had too many opportunities. I haven't really taken many up. As I've been so busy with my performance career. But when I do, from the limited experience I've had, the way I prepare is I just brainstorm a whole heap. And usually there'll be things connected to ideas where I can imagine movement sequences or general sensory feeling or how a state I want to be able to move in or things like that. Usually there's two different, for me, naturally, there's two different avenues I go in. Very particular movement and then color it in later with more intention and perhaps narrative. Or the other way is I build an idea of a state that I want to be in. And sometimes that's just a little bit to do with characterization. Maybe this person is weak, searching for something. And has a vague idea of hope, and that would through improvisation inform me in the way I choose to move. So my decision making is already influenced from the get-go. It totally depends on the type of work I'm doing,
of course,
and I think that's that sort of style is probably based more around my experience working in physical theatre and companies.
And how do you how do you settle on an aesthetic?
Movement aesthetic?
Yeah. Or is there just a general movement aesthetic that you're usually thinking in when you're brainstorming movement sequences and choreography?
It's total individual preference. So for me, I really enjoy spatial isolation. There's always a bit of a hip-hop influence. There's always a little bit of physical virtuosity perhaps in certain elements, and that's just purely by taste of what I like seeing on stage. But I also understand its drawbacks too, so it's totally dependent on what I'm aiming to do in the work.
Mm-hmm.
If it's purely appreciation for movement, then I'll definitely go down a movement path. If it's not, then I can't. It's not as easy sticking to isolations and things like that, because it actually becomes contained movement and the viewer doesn't see a moment of freedom in the body.
Mm-hmm.
which contemporary usually encapsulates quite a lot, like that safety release sort of technique.
And how do you spark that mode of thinking? Like if brainstorming, say, pre-going into the studio is about imagining movement sequences or letting them come to you or imagining states, is it about searching for music or is it about reading texts or is it about conversations or...?
Depends. If it's in a physical theatre context, then text is always a big one.
Mm.
And personally, I'm still much more, I find it much more easier with sound-based text, so monologues or dialogue usually can inform a lot because you can hear accents, tones, inclinations, and that also assists. It's rhythmic. Yes, yeah. It's rhythmic, but also encourages a sort of direction for your intention on how you're going to perform the move, even energetically.
Mm-hmm.
It might not encourage the form, but definitely I feel like my energetic state will go with the way that dialogue's happening.
Mm-hmm. And if we're talking then instead about when you're coming on board as a performer and dancer or performer and collaborator in a bigger project, how do you prepare for that? Or how do you keep prepared for that? Or
keep prepared?
Like what is the state that you think you need to enter into the process with, and then how do you maintain that state?
Well, there's always some key ones. Absolute trust. Absolute trust for the people running the project, because it's, you get an idea of how you feel in a work, but it doesn't always correlate to what the viewer will see, and you need to trust your boss essentially on their vision. And it's also out of pure respect too. They can't get as close to their vision as possible if they're being not undermined but always second guess before having the opportunity to fully explore what they're trying to do. And that exploration for the performers involved can only go that whole way with 100% trust and to actually just go there completely. Otherwise, it's always just a little bit undercut and something doesn't work. Other things are just like physically fit. Be as fit as possible and prepared for any movement. Unless you know what that choreographer or company do, then you can sort of align physically to that. But I like to, be as capable as possible entering, at least, entering new projects.
Can you talk a little bit about what inspires you? Not necessarily for something that's going to take you to the studio and then to stage, but things that I guess are the opposite of things that are engaging, what, like movies or books or songs or something that like gets you excited.
Music definitely always compels me to move, and it often is probably more along the lines of electronic music, and that's because it's always changing and I like the changes in sound, rhythm, not so like trancey repetitive things, but more I think they call it IDM, which is sounds a bit wanky, intelligent dance music, where the rhythm's always changing, they're using constantly, nothing stays in repetition for too long, and that naturally aligns with what I like. I don't really like to do repetition too much. And so that just keeps me stimulated, because if I respond via movement to the sounds, I'm always having to change my intention to my movement because the sounds are always changing and I'm trying to match it or marry it in one way or another. And so for a most stimulating environment, I usually go for that. Other things, anime. Japanese animation is actually incredibly fruitful in terms of intent, character, and motivation in some ways. But I think you can get that at most things. But like just on a
specific animes, or just broadly?
No, just broadly anime in general. Because there's always, the Japanese have such strong moral and ethics behind their stuff, and the main character is always very hardworking, mm-hmm. and perhaps doesn't have an abundance of talent, but gets there through sheer work and things like that. And it can be awfully encouraging. And I love anime, and so I respond to it. Not so much in terms of doing things like they do on anime.
Like the Naruto run across stage or anything, arms back.
No, but there's an incredible amount of high contrast, saturation, personality shifts.
Uh-huh.
It's everything's sort of at gear five.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating because then that idea of being able to have contrast, you know, in a work or when you're choosing to do movement is a good thing to take on board.
Mm.
Unless it involves subtlety. And that's also at level important. Five. That's also important. But it's always about balance. So you can be subtle for a while and then all of a sudden crack it up to gear five.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, and that can come across really strong.
Have you ever had a moment on stage that feels I don't know out of body or transcendent? Or
are you talking about the moment?
The moment that we performers chase and work for and sacrifice.
Yeah,
for?
I think so. Every now and again, and. For me, it's always that moment, doesn't always occur, but the formula for me when that occurs is the movement is very prescribed, so I know exactly what I'm doing to the T, so proprioception is just on board, I don't need to think about movement, and then I am incredibly justified in how I'm choosing to move, and there's a very clear intent, and I've created also a state that I've placed myself in as well. Either it be through characterization, so I'm I'm doing all these things and I'm talking, or I'm embodying a character, or I'm doing it to someone's dialogue. So it's extremely clear. Or just recently I did a work called Spectra, and I was very clear in my mind what emotional states I was thinking of whilst performing the movement vocabulary. And I could access it every time. And if I can access those states every time, to me, it feels like it must have been stitched quite well together.
Yeah, right.
But if you can only hit the mark, that emotional state or however, a few times in a season, then you know, there's probably some more kinks you could iron out choreographically, creatively.
Ah, so there's some kind of back and forth between whether something is choreographed very with a lot of consideration and how comprehensively and deeply it can be performed.
I guess I'm talking about trajectory.
Yeah, right.
And there's ways you can craft to achieve that trajectory more often or not. And the funny thing is that more often happens in collaboration.
Of course, because there's a feedback loop.
Yeah, and you need your performer to be as genuine as possible, but that'll only occur because you need to access it through their personal experiences.
Yeah, right.
You can't just lay that onto them, especially if... That's why mature artists seem to access that a bit quicker, because you actually need those experiences in your life to be able to draw upon or use, make the most of.
Do you ever choose to expose yourself to certain life experiences based on how useful they might be in a creative context?
Oh, hang on. Do you mean create those life experiences? I think of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely.
And then do you ever set up new experiences so that in the future you're like, I'm going to go and do this thing because it's going to broaden my ability and my range of experiences to pull on at another show at a later date?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because I generally, no.
How do you choose what to do when you're not working?
How do you mean?
What is the value system that helps you decide what to spend your time on when you're not employed at somebody else's will?
I pretty much can't exist without having a direction.
Mm.
So I'll pick something and go 100% at it. And I've always been like that. And if I'm relating it to my career, or I know I need to just keep supplementing it, my draw card is find a new movement related thing that interests me. If not, then it would be in a creative sense. If I'm doing computer programming, I'm always considering how I can apply that knowledge back into an art context.
Uh-huh.
So I'm always, the feedback loop, I guess you would say for me, is whatever I'm interested in, I don't decide that. I just intuitively, it'll always happen for me. But then once that gets going, I'm always considering how I can apply it.
And have you had any insights into, say, the possible application of performance or choreography or movement practice or vocabulary to computer programming or other programming languages or database systems?
Yes, but I'm not going to give away anything. Once my performance career slowly wanes, I will move into the many ideas that I've got. But it's loosely coupled around, at the moment, it's about creating technological infrastructures that run autonomously to create art.
Uh-huh.
And that's the things that I'm working on.
Choreography often is creating an autonomous infrastructure.
Yes, I'm thinking in the broader perspective of mixing things such as a web interface with crowdfunding, with something like Next Wave, or when independent choreographers come together. I want to create an autonomous infrastructure where it's decided by the mass who goes on, but also, yeah, creates a sort of momentum. It's a bit hard for me to explain.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just thinking about...
I don't want no one person to have the decision. That's what I'm trying to do.
And how, I guess, from my limited knowledge of people that are working within these kind of infrastructures, is that the end product is some kind of installation, but you're still talking about a performance. The end product is still a live performance with people there.
Yes, but I'm also talking in the... yes, but it doesn't need to be directed at that. It's more an infrastructure which encourages art to be made, any art, but is designed around almost like how Kickstarter and Possible are made. So regardless, the applications still have to go through... crowd, the people need to push towards something they would want to see happen. And then it goes into another cycle, and a lot of this would be done through
automated systems.
So no one is a key decider, and I think this could be quite fascinating, because then you don't have arts bodies
or curators
deciding. It's actually just generally decided on what the public want to see. And I find that fascinating, because
it's like if every application goes to referendum.
And it might be interesting, because it will then be a more identifiable aesthetic as to what, for instance, Australians want to see.
Do you think that's going to be in the... so my only concern is that most of what artists and researchers and not-for-profits spend most of the time on is convincing people that they want the thing that they don't want yet. Like, I know there's this thing that I want to make and I see its value, and I need to convince you and everybody else of that also. And that's what I'm going to spend most of my time on. And I also think about that. So that extreme that you're talking about is almost the opposite end of the old, and I'm sure I'm thinking of a nostalgic version of the patron system, where there are people with excess cash that employ people of potential or excitement and just be on their whim or on their fancy. is like the danger of democracy is a dilution of taste.
That is very true. I don't think my idea would span.
Okay.
So be so far reaching.
The whole culture.
No, it would be more, for me, it's something like that would happen annually with the top five selected or things like that. It's not as in something that should be the overarching infrastructure of all art being created.
Yeah.
I just find it an interesting...
What if, almost.
Investigation as to what is the flavor of the month or what does interest the general public.
Considering that a dance takes 3 years or 4 years from concept to production.
Yes.
And what the flavor of the month is very interesting.
Yeah. But then pushing the envelope in that decision-making further, so it's actually the crowd that also can inform the artistic direction. Uh-huh.
That's cool. So, and then you increase the buy-in as well.
Yeah. And so it's sort of trying to reduce the soul person as much as possible and disperse it amongst a much larger community.
Does that mean you don't believe in genius?
What sort of question is that?
I'm thinking about people, musicians mainly, who I'm really glad that they got to make what they wanted to make.
They can still be a genius and still take on opinions of others. But yes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like Bob Dylan, Missy Elliott, John Lennon. These are the people I'm thinking of. And I guess I don't know enough to know whether they were taking on feedback at the time and who that was from. Anyway, it's all right. It's a very deep, long thing.
Well, they're just very different. I'm not looking for the genius. I'm looking for what the mass are interested in. And is that... And then the answers to that would be interesting to see if that's reference to pop culture or if it's reference to other previous things in their history or if it's the fact they're culturally an Australian.
Yeah.
Or I feel as though there would be some interesting results with that sort of setup. It still is very problematic and has many things that would have to be ironed out.
That's the exciting thing about it, is that it's problematic.
No, the exciting thing would be the end result and the process getting there is to see what people want.
Uh-huh.
And it's also me pushing that envelope of how I talked about collaboration, stronger investment. The more you get the mass involved and even offering their ideas and them being taken on board, the more you get this sense of ownership across a larger spectrum of people. And that could be... interesting.
Like fan movies where fans remake movies and things like that. That's cool. Okay, two more questions and then we're done. What do you think is the biggest potential the biggest power that dance has?
Biggest power that dance has? For me, it's when I watch dance, I guess really good dance, it's simple. For me, it's a sensation. I'm not creating like a huge narrative. I'm not creating my hypothesis on the world or whatever. It's this transcendent feeling or sensation that gives me an opportunity to step out of my body and almost feel enlightened. Or, I don't know. It's almost like you're having an epiphany, but you don't know the answer. But there's some sort of uplifting eureka. And you usually don't forget that. That even just the sensation of it, or you'll remember a few visual cues or tableaus, but what you're left with is this resonance.
Cool. You got any ideas on how to guarantee that that'll happen when you're making, Or when you're performing?
No guarantees ever.
Okay, last question. What is your biggest hope?
My biggest hope for dance?
You can choose. It could be like, I hope that I make the plane. But no. Hopefully there's a bigger one than that. I guess for your efforts or for the world or for society or...
Okay, so one of my biggest hopes would be... Yeah. I hope there would eventually be more money for the arts in general. But I also believe I hope the infrastructure gets more worked out or evolves further. So the respect for creatives can possibly be used in other aspects of business, advertisement. So at least the higher end artists that are being successful in our industry can be maximized in other, perhaps corporate situations. And then hopefully that would be a loop. Hopefully more money comes in and there's a bit more of this threading of culture and art into
creative thought,
capitalism, or whatever,
cultural capital,
general business,
yes,
and an appreciation for that, and that would, to me, that would lift the art game up just simply because of a bigger load of money coming in. Other than that, if I just feel as though if infrastructure is stronger, art has the potential to be stronger. Sad. I'm being a bit sad about it because art can always be made no matter what.
But it's compromised.
With less limitations,
yeah.
There are bigger dreams, perhaps.
Great. Bigger dreams. Unless you've got any other epiphanies or insights or wisdom to drop. No,
not really. I think the biggest... No. I'm just going to be talking a lot of rubbish now. But it's definitely authenticity.
Great.
Is a big one.